far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
we continue round two of our Takahashi vs. Tomino segment with Space Runaway Edeon and SPT Lasner.
Remember the stuff that happened last night, even though you don't have the notes?
I think I can kind of remember most of what happened, but it's not as crazy as the second movie that we just saw.
Yeah, the show is not as remarkable as the movie, I guess.
I guess there was more to the show, and I guess you're gonna we can compare and contrast, but like, do you feel like the movie did justice to the TV shows as in explaining everything?
Well, the first movie only goes until episode 32, and I guess there's a scene from 34 in there as well, but they change when a lot of the stuff happens, like they shuffle around some of the events, and they cut a lot of stuff out as well, but I mean, did you feel like you understood what was happening or no?
Yeah, it felt like, I think we're recording. So.
Yeah, we are. Okay.
I felt like they kind of compiled it the same way as the Mobile Suit Gundam TV show. So, like, everything kind of made sense for the most part. I mean, I know when we started the second movie, like, it had that character that was never really introduced into any of the first film, and she instantly dies. And then they have the title screen.
Oh, Kitty Kitten.
Yeah, which you say is the worst Tomino name ever because it's so normal.
Well, I didn't say that's why it's awful. It's just, it sounds like a furry name or something, you know? But, yeah, in the show, she is shot by the Buff Clan on the planet Kyaral or something like that. I don't remember the name of it.
Okay.
But in the movie, she's decapitated. The movie is really brutal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, she dies, but then, like, you see, like, on the reflection of Cosmo's helmet, like, her head flying, and this, like, whole jet stream of blood trail coming right after it. And he's like, Kitty, no!
Yeah. And then that's not the only time that happens in the movie too.
Okay.
Because there's the famous scene with the kids later on.
Oh yeah, like Daryl Surratt will show like anime craziest deaths, and I think he wrote something on Crunchyroll like a while ago, like a couple years ago, and he talked about this particular scene in Edeon where like this kid is using a bazooka and gets decapitated. And I've heard of this scene for like, you know, for a few years, and I'm like, and I finally see it, I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, I saw a video of this on YouTube, just a clip of like the worst scenes from this movie, and it's not much better in context. All these people just randomly get killed throughout the movie in all these violent ways.
Oh, well, I mean, the ending to this was just like, balls out retarded in how people just died and just exploded. I guess we should give introductions, but I think people know who we are by now.
Yeah, just in case this is the first time you're listening,
I'm John Jones. There's so much more you can listen to.
And with me is Zionic Freak.
And that's me.
We're going to talk about Space Runaway Ideon, both the series and the movies, and SPT Lasner, Blue Comet SPT Lasner, for part two of our Tamino versus Takahashi theme, however long it takes.
Summer. Yeah, I don't see this ending in half a year like I thought it would. I was just like, well, it'll just go on for however long, so we have something to look forward to.
I think the next show's, well, what do you want them to be?
Haven't really thought of it.
I guess I would suggest Zabungle and not Dunbine.
Dunbine.
Dogrum.
Dogrum? Okay. Yeah, you said there's a compilation for, I think, both of those.
Yeah, there's definitely one for Dogrum. I have that one. I haven't downloaded Zabungle yet, but I think that there's OVAs or a movie or something that compiles it.
As long as those anime Russian rippers guys don't get a hold of it, then I think we're okay.
Oh, what's their deal?
Well, we saw how they treated, they're the ones that did the L game, like, OVAs, and that was, like, all the misspellings and crap they did.
Oh.
And then whoever did the freaking Turn A Gunna movies, I thought it was the same group, and God, that's terrible.
Okay, yeah, I just looked. There's an 83-minute Zabungle graffiti movie.
Okay. Hopefully that's not, like, cut and paste right off the... I don't know. I guess I'll have to find out when I watch it. 83 minutes. That's not too bad.
It's 50 episodes, so... I mean, it's about the same length as the Ideon movie, the first one.
Okay. The second one was a little bit longer. Because, you know, they had to spend 8 minutes of people floating to heaven or... Ide heaven, wherever they're going, and just floating around in space. But that's how Tomino wanted to end it, because he's just like, nope, I'm not having this continue. Sunrise can't get me now.
Yeah. I have to wonder if when he ended the show, he knew he was going to make this, because the show doesn't really end very conclusively compared with the movie where everyone dies and there's no way they can make a sequel.
Well, how did the TV show end?
Well, Carla is captured by the Buff Clan after they think she's dead, and then I guess she's rescued, and then it just kind of ends without resolving the conflict against the Buff Clan at all, and... I guess they kind of expected that they were going to make this movie because it doesn't come across as, like, having any real ending.
I can just imagine the, like, Sunrise executives coming up and just like, Tamino, you've pissed us off for too long. How dare you end it like this? And he's got this smug look. He's like, cannot touch me.
I think that
my show committed suicide, and it was for the better.
The series was supposed to last a year, but I guess it didn't do very well because it got canceled after 39 episodes, like Mobile Suit, basically.
Yeah, there's no reason for fans to follow this or have a fan following because it doesn't go anywhere. I guess he figured, well, I'm not going to repeat Mobile Suit Gundam, so I'm just going to go ahead and nip this in the bud. Everyone dies. There is no more universe. Suck it.
Oh, but there is a big fan following for this, though.
Yeah. There's someone out there that's probably, like, rewrote the, like, did fan fiction or rewriting the script, and is like, well, if it really did continue, this is how I would think it would go. And it's like, thank God it's just fan fiction. It'll just stick to that. It's out there somewhere, and I do not want to know what it is.
Yeah, there's Blu-rays of this now, but I think that's about the only release that it's going to really get. I guess there's the Mobile Suit Gundam Space Runaway Ideon manga that's not by Tamino, but someone else. But I think Amuro and Cosmo Yuki meet in it, and it's determined that Cosmo Yuki's the predecessor of the new types or something like that.
I think I heard about this. I figured it's just like kind of being the same time space where, like, if you touch the same matter, it just the universe explodes or implodes. Because freaking Cosmo and Amuro are the same people, the exact same.
Yeah, except Cosmo has a huge afro.
It's a bigger, redder afro.
Yeah. Amuro's isn't as big, but that's about the main difference.
Well, I guess we should start from the beginning where the first movie, A Contact, started out with, I guess the Buff Clan is going to a planet, and because apparently there's two different Earths, and I guess the way it is, like, the Buff Clan occupies one planet, and then the people, or the you know, the rest of them live on another planet.
Okay, so this...
Yeah, the movie, explain this.
The movie starts out on the planet Solo, which is where a group of Earth colonists live, and they've uncovered a mobile suit called the Ideon, and it relies upon a mystical power. They don't know what it is yet, but the Buff Clan wants this ship because it's a mythological ship that plays a role in some major myth of their history involving some hero and a princess and the Ideon. And so the people of Solo, for some reason, they don't want to give it to the Buff Clan. I think it's because once they get inside the Ideon and they get attacked by the Buff Clan, and they decide that the Buff Clan is too brutal to have the ship.
Yeah.
And so they spend the rest of the series trying to keep the Ideon away from the Buff Clan. And this first compilation movie shows some of the highlights of their struggle against the Buff Clan.
Yeah, because it was... They've dug up the artifacts for the Ideon already. Because, like, at this time, like, the princess, or the other princess to the king of, you know, the Buff Clan, Carlia, like, lands down, and she's, I guess, just spotting form or whatever. I mean, like, they basically invade this excavation site, and that's when, like, you get Cosmo with them and the rest of the gang into the Ideon, and the Ideon forms up like a giant, you know, 70s robot suit, like Voltron or like Voltus V or Combattler V, kind of. Because it's like in three separate parts, and it kind of does it on its own. And the way they kind of described it in the end of the first movie was like they couldn't figure out how it really reacted, because it would just be like it would just have like it would come together once the Buff Clan's close by. But it played on their insecurity of them defending themselves, so then that caused the Ideon to be activated.
Yeah, the Ideon is a very unique mobile suit in that it's powered by people's self-preservation instincts rather than some sort of, you know, battery or solar power or however the other mecha are piloted in other Tamino shows. And it's mostly powered by babies, we later figure out, because they have the strongest will to survive, apparently. I guess as adults grow up, they become suicidal or something, I don't know.
Well, if you're the only reason babies survive is the fact they have parents not to let them kill themselves, because they would, because they're too stupid to do anything, because they're babies.
Yeah.
How are babies going to know the will to live? They're just like trying to figure out how crap works and what can kill me the fastest.
I thought it was funny how the baby Piper Lou, his first words were the Ide. Like, he's such a gimmicky character that he even shouts out the name of the mobile suit as his first words.
What was it? It was like, that was the one that said mama for like 10 minutes in the movie nonstop. And they're like, okay. And I'm like, shut up!
and then the other baby is named Messiah.
Yeah, that's the... This is the baby you called the zombie baby. I noted this down. Like, yeah, you said the E-Day is powered by a zombie baby.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be our sub-quote for this podcast. Because it's a really good one.
The reason I call it a zombie baby is because the mother, Carla, is killed, but the baby somehow survives.
She gets capped in the face 3 times from her sister, the redhead, and I never really cared enough to catch her name.
Oh, but like, Harulu.
Okay, yeah. Like, she gets shot in the face. Well, like, yeah, in the second movie, like, well, first of all, let's talk about the ship security. Because the way people keep getting in the ship is through the same freaking opening they have not bothered to repair the 5 times they've been attacked so far, and they leave it open. They're like, well, gee, how are people getting in? They just happen to get in. We better defend the bridge or whatever. It's like, patch the damn hole. And it was through, like, the freaking biosphere or whatever, like the forest area.
Yeah, this happens throughout the show. The Buff Clan regularly just jumps out of their ship and screams, it's time for hand-to-hand combat! And they come and storm the Ideon and beat up Cosmo Yuki and take over the ship and hold people hostage and stuff.
But yeah, like, they didn't... I guess they're still wondering, like, how... Hold on. Okay. Yeah, it's... I mean, do they ever question, like, how they're getting in the ship or something? They're just like, oh, they're here again. It's like, well, don't leave your freaking door, front door open, i.e. the glass, you know, greenhouse that you have on the spaceship of yours. It's like, just put some, like, just duck it. I mean...
No, it's never brought up.
That's so retarded. I mean, that's the problem right there. And then, like, every time they get in, you get, like, five-year-olds, like, pirating automatic laser weapons and whatever.
Don't you love how the Ideon is piloted by all these incompetent little kids? Like, there's this like kid that's going through puberty named Deck, who has a squirrel on his shoulder, and the squirrel is wearing a spacesuit as well, even though it's like a it must be like a invisible or transparent trace spacesuit or something, because the squirrel just sticks food through it, and, yeah, and eats, even though it has a helmet on.
Yeah, it was like the second movie, like, okay, we're having like our one slice of bread for the next, like, forever, because, you know, there's no, we don't, this is our food ration for a year. And he gives it to the squirrel, and, like, the squirrel, like, I couldn't tell if the spacesuit was off or on, otherwise that's a really purple-faced squirrel. But it's pretty, I thought it was a pretty apparent that it was eating through the spacesuit or like the glass part. I'm like, how in the hell is it doing that?
Yeah, because sometimes you do see it with the thing off, but it looks different. So I think the animators just forgot that it was wearing a helmet or something.
They made the movie and someone's like, Takashi, we forgot to take out the space helmet part. And he's just like, no one's gonna notice. I think it's fine. If the director didn't see it, then if he ain't gonna complain, then, you know, whatever. We made this movie. We got paid for it. No one really cares. They're gonna die in about 20 minutes anyway. So,
well, they did put some care into the animation on these. Like, they reanimated some stuff in the first movie. But
I kind of noticed, like, the animation seemed a lot really fluid at certain parts.
Yeah, and in the second one, I thought the animation was pretty good, too.
Yeah, like, especially during, like, the action scenes and everything.
Especially since it's theatrical animation instead of just being a clip show of mostly TV animation like the first one.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't know if they added extra animation for, like, the Mobile Suit Gundam movies. They might have.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen all the TV series of Mobile Suit Gundam. Gas blasphemy, I know, but I mean, those compilation movies work out pretty well for me. I was just trying to think. Yeah, they we switch like topics so many times.
Yeah, I know. I was just giving the highlights, but I guess we should get back to the start of the first movie. One where the idiot Ide is attacked by the Buff Clan.
Okay. So, like, what kind of, like, I guess I wanted to fall asleep a lot in the first movie, like, regarding them talking about the E-Day.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, what is it exactly? Is it just kind of like this being that exists that they all worship or they all came from or something?
Yeah, well, it's considered to be a god by the Buff Clan. And so the Buff Clan considers it to be this amazing, unstoppable force.
Mm-hmm.
And they, throughout the series, are trying to reclaim it because it's this holy, powerful artifact that they want to use to destroy the Earth, I guess, because the Earth stood against them getting the Ideon. And so they continually send out more and more of these Buff Clan samurai, is what they call themselves. I don't know how they know about samurai culture, considering they're from outer space on a different planet. But
one of those things that's never explained.
Yeah, maybe it's like Lesnar, which is the other show we're going to talk about later, where both of them have a common ancestor or something, and they're both originally from Earth or something, but...
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But it's never really explained. I guess we could just assume that samurai culture also developed on the Buff Clan planet, and they just happen to look just like people as well.
But, well, I mean, they all came from the same place or the same planet, and they always, like, argue about it in the movies, and they're, I don't know, I was like, whatever.
Oh, well, Carla is from the Buff Clan planet as well. She and Maya were the two Buff Clan women that went out to see the EDA, but they were captured by the solo ship colonists.
Yeah, yeah.
And, they make them change out of their Buff Clan clothes in the movie anyway. In the series, the clothes are just destroyed and they change sides and start wearing the other clothes. And they're locked up in a little cage for a while. For some reason, the solo ship has a cage that they lock people in every now and then.
Oh,
they did okay. This to Cosmo Yuki and Kasha also. When they disobey orders at one point during the series, they're just locked in this tiny little cage and only fed like a loaf of bread a day or something.
I remember that in the movie. Like that's yeah, because like the sister, like what was it? The redhead had that younger sister. I guess they're all like related or something. Because I didn't know who that was. Because that was just next to Carla, and then she apparently like gets shot by that little girl assassin or whatever. Because, like, they break her, like, the guards open up her cage to try to keep her alive, and she's just running from the person that's trying to shoot her, and it's one of the girls on the ship, and she apparently forgets how guns work, because in the movie she's, like, she's crying, and she's like, the gun won't shoot the bullets, I don't know how this is happening.
Did she get why she was...
shoot the bullets now?
With the movie, could you even tell why she was pissed off?
No, it was just kind of had this, she just kind of showed up. I don't know if I caught it or not.
Okay, well, basically, the Buff Clan screwed up the whole planet Solo, I guess, when they were attacking the E-Day, because Cosmo Yuki's parents were killed, and I guess all these other people's friends and families were also killed, and so...
That was that too.
This girl in the movie anyway goes and attacks Maya, which is the attendant of Carla, because Carla is like the Buff Clan princess, and so she has this assistant. But I think in the series Maya is killed in battle in the first few episodes or something, and Lada doesn't randomly murder her. It's kind of weird because Carla doesn't even really seem to hold a grudge, even though this person just randomly sniped down her friend while she was locked up in a cage.
Yeah, I mean, she seemed... Yeah, Carla seemed kind of really, like, peaceful about it. Like, she was like, you know, we can't hate each other. It's got to be about peace. And, you know, if we can't get along... Because I seem to be pretty cool with you guys, and she's the one that's basically portraying her Buff Clan the whole time.
Yeah, because she wants to have sex with Bess, and that seems to be the entire reason.
Okay, yeah, like, so who is the... So Bess is the father of the kid that she has, right? The Messiah baby? Well, Saya zombie baby.
That's what I thought, but, like, why did that redheaded woman get all pissed off? I thought she said that it was because Carla had sex with her man, Domido, or something like that.
Well, no, there was that, no, what was it, like, in the second movie they go to, well, they get teleported from the Edeon to, like, the mothership of, like, the Buff Clan or whatever, and then Carla and that Joplin dude. And then, like, as soon as they go to, they're trying to escape from everyone, and as soon as she meets her father, like, she admits that she's pregnant, and then he immediately looks at Joplin, thinks he's the dad, and just starts beating the crap out of him. And starts, like, whipping him, or, like, cutting him with that beam lightsaber sword.
Yeah, this is a very Star Wars era mecha show. There's all these lightsabers in it, and there's these sandworms and stuff.
Oh, yeah, the sandworm is at the very end. I guess there's sandworms in Edeon Heaven.
Yeah.
Or whatever they're headed to. Oh, gosh, that ending. We're going to have to get to that. But, yeah, because they never really explain it. But then, like, you see how Carla and the other guy were, like, you know, they apparently fell in love with each other or whatever. And then, like, in the movie... her sister is like, says like, yeah, or the father was proud that she killed his daughter. And then she's like, well, no, you know, it wasn't just because like, she's ruining the, you know, the bloodlines and all this other stuff. It was because I was jealous because she got knocked up and lost her virginity to a guy. And I haven't experienced that yet. And he's just like, well, she's dead. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, I thought that part was really weird. That's a common theme in the two anime that we're going to talk about today. There's also the family betrayal in Leisner, yeah. Where the redheaded guy kills his father.
I mean, really, the first movie could just kind of sets everything up. I mean, and then, of course, like we see how tough the Edeon is. We're like, at first, it just punches everything. Because they don't know really how to use weapons, and then eventually, like, figure it out how to, like, fire, like, the 800 billion missiles the thing carries and laser barrages and whatever. But it ends with, like, the Edeon having a weapon called, like, the Edeon Sword, which is basically this giant beam of light coming from the wrist. And it's just able to cut up planets, mostly, or just whatever is in their path, because they try to have, like, these two ships to capture it. And then they figure out, like, oh, we have this sword thing, and then they just, like, go to town on everyone in the Buff Clan.
Yeah, in the chat you asked if they just had the Edeon sword at first in the anime, because I said that they didn't get the Edeon gun until episode 29 or so, but that's not the case. They don't get the Edeon sword until late in the anime either. It's, like, episode 32 or so.
Oh.
So, early on, it's just a bunch of missiles shooting out of the Edeon's shoulders all the time. Edeon's fight scenes are kind of crappy, really, which is why you always see people hating on the series. They say the action isn't as interesting in it as it should be. And...
Wait, that's their biggest complaint is the action in this?
Well...
Wait, who says this crap? The internet?
Like M. If you ever see any threads on there about Edeon.
I don't go on M that much, so, well, there's your problem.
Yeah.
I kind of tend to stay away from... The M. I mean, I don't know. It was funny when, like, A blew up because, like, they put a promotion for Naruto and then just, like, everyone went to town and played the German opening of Naruto on repeat.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Chang. Let's see. I'm just kind of going through these notes here. So we kind of cover regarding them being teleported, Carla and Jolliver getting teleported. This show is very Mobile Suit Gundam, and not only on how it opens, like, where everyone's dying, they get in the machine and stop the invading army, but also, like, they have new type moments, which is, like, it happens quite a bit in the second movie regarding how they're able to communicate with each other. Like, the first moment I saw was, like, when Jolliver and Carla were getting out of the mothership, and, like, the solo ship's there, and then, like, the main captain dude, I guess, like, Bess or something, was, like, wait a sec, that's Carla. I can sense it's her or whatever. And I was like, oh, I didn't know they're going to go that route. And then it just got more apparent from then on.
Yeah, throughout the series and the movies, he's, like, sensing people's deaths in outer space and stuff like that. So they never call him a new type, but it's pretty obvious that it's a Tamino using the same concept again.
What are you talking about, best you mean, like, foreseeing deaths on people?
Well, Cosmo, but Bess also has visions of the Idaeon in his dreams in episode 34, so he has this big vision where the Idaeon talks to him and tells him all about its powers and everything. So yeah. He's getting all these new type visions and everything, so both him and Cosmo are new types. In the first movie, it's Cosmo that gets the vision from the Idaeon after he's been wounded.
Oh, crap, I'm trying to think. I don't know if I remember him kind of getting wounded or whatever. I can't remember the vision part. This was last night.
It's when he was getting the blood transfusion from Carla.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, because he had, like, a really rare blood type, and she's like, well, fancy that. I have the same blood type.
Even though she's an alien?
Well, I thought that was, like, to defunk that whole, or debunk the whole, like, oh, they're completely different but not really theory or whatever. Because they're like, oh, we all came from the same place. So we all came from one Earth and made two or something.
I guess so. It could be.
That was something else I thought they explained. So apparently the kids are the ones that actually make the ship, or the Idaeon and the ship run in this anime. As we find out in the second movie, when like they finally get the Idaeon gun, like they're being attacked or whatever, and like Cosmo's able to get the gun out of the hole, which they were told him not to. Like they told him not to rip it up, but he still does it anyways. And then he fires it, and he's like, well, this gun's not charging. Okay. So, freaking, I consider her the Sailor Mass of this anime, the one that went crazy and, like, was sacrificing Lou, the little baby, to, like, the Ide, like, out in outer space.
Oh.
Like, yeah, she had him, like, up of us. He's like, oh, great Ide, help us in our time of need. And I'm like, oh, God.
Cheryl. Yeah, and don't you love how she's flying up into heaven with the rest of them at the end of it?
Well, yeah, no, like, she freaking dies, like, when they get attacked. And then she has that out-of-body experience where she, like, her ghost self makes out with her ghost boyfriend that happens to show up. And I'm like, well, say what?
I don't know if we're supposed to forgive her because her sister is killed in the last few episodes of the series. And it kind of obviously is driving her crazy, but it's kind of like Flay at the end of Mobile Suit Gundam Seed. You can't really empathize with them that much. They're just kind of psycho.
Oh, for those people who've seen Mobile Suit Gundam Seed or that far into the series, which I have not done so.
Well, she starts going crazy as early as when her father gets killed, but I don't know if you saw that.
Are you talking about that annoying redhead? Like, she starts going crazy, like, 10 episodes in or something?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember her. But doesn't she, like, defect or something?
Well, I think she's on the base the whole time, but she's just being a bitch constantly.
Yeah, I remember her being a bitch on, like, the ship or whatever. And then she basically, like, screws Kiria. I thought they had sex.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, yeah. Gosh, it's been so long since I've seen that, and that is something we'll cover one day. I'm just going to watch the movies to both seeds, so I don't have to watch the TV show. I think it'll still be as bad. So anyways, like, getting back to Lou the baby. Yeah, so then, like, that girl, what was her name again? You said it was like, oh, crap. You told me the name.
Oh, the,
the crazy one.
Yeah. Cheryl.
Cheryl. I kept wanting to think her name was Carol or something. Yeah, so after she's dead, like, Lou just kind of floats around, and then, like, Carla is trying to go around and find the baby, but apparently, since she has her own baby inside her, her vagina starts glowing. And it's interesting because, like, Bess isn't able to tell where she is, but the freaking Buff Clan is, and everyone around her is like, well, there goes Carla right there. Let's go after her.
Yeah,
it's like, dude, how do you not see that?
Yeah, because she's flying around with this glowing womb, you know? And it's even when they're flying after she's dead, you can still see the baby just glowing inside her, and then flows out.
It was, because she's flying around, and, you know, like, all, you know, the Cosmo has to, like, figure out where she is, and he's, like, trying to fight him off. And she's over there, and she finds Lou the baby, which apparently they say that, like, both her baby, or the one in the womb, and Lou are the ones that actually keep both, like, the ship and Edeon alive through their willpower or whatever.
Yeah, the Edeon is powered by babies.
Or just, like, those two in particular.
I don't get what Tamino was really going for there. There's somebody called the Sixth Civilization that made the Edeon in the distant past.
Yeah, they mentioned that.
And their souls, I guess, inhabit it. And the Edeon controls the wills of... the will to survive of people or something, but it has the most control over babies because their minds are the most pure or something. They tried to explain this a little bit in the second movie, but it was just one or two lines from this Buff Clan guy. So it's kind of hard to really tell what they're going for here. A lot of people say this is like the proto-Evangelion. And it's about as vague as Eva, but... and it's got the weird ending.
I don't see Evangelion in this at all. I don't know what those people are talking about. I saw more Mobile Suit Gundam.
Yeah,
well, it's a little bit differently.
It's definitely got a Mobile Suit Gundam art design and everything, but...
I mean, are people comparing this to Evangelion? Because, well, Evangelion, everyone died off. Well, and technically, those who actually... research the heck out of Evangelion are like, well, they're not really dead, they're just in this form of LCL that, you know, that Shinji wished for or something. It was something like that. So technically they're not entirely dead. That's the other theory behind it if you study the end of Evangelion movie long enough for the rest of your life.
Well, I didn't really want to look into this stuff too much because I hadn't seen Edeon yet, so I didn't really want to see all the side-by-side comparisons, but I think it's probably because both of the series ended in a way that kind of sucked, and so they had to make follow-up movies that do the real ending. And so people probably just see that and they just say, oh, they must be just alike then.
So this was Evangelion without the daddy issues and Pen Pen?
I mean, I don't think the plots really match up that well, actually.
No, they don't. I mean, there wasn't like an alien invasion. It was so Mobile Suit Gundam. I just tweaked a little bit, and there wasn't Ray clones, and I don't know what people. I guess people are just trying to find a comparison to anime they already know about, and then they see this and like, well, it kind of is like Evangelion, so therefore it must be. And it's like, nope, don't see it. Sorry, dude, or ma'am, dudette. That's just the way I look at it, but that's not how I saw it. I mean, really, from like then on, it's basically like it's a constant space battle, and like, you know, she gets the baby, and then of course, like, Carla's sister shows up, caps her in the face like three freaking times. Well, she has the thing like, oh, because you betrayed us, you can't kill me, and then Carla shoots at her and misses utterly. Or she, like, nailed her in the shoulder or something, and then, like, her sister's like, well, that happened, well, you know, like, well, you missed, and it's my turn, and, you know, bow, bow, bow. But then, like, her freaking baby is still alive, and, like, they keep a blanket over her, both, like, her and then that girl that's taking care of the kids. And they had him side by side in, like, the forest or whatever. And then you got Lou that's just, like, basically playing with dead Carla's body, and then, like, her body is still glowing from the zombie baby to, like, make sure crap still works.
Yeah.
This show.
Yeah, everybody's just hanging out in the greenhouse for like an hour after that happens, and they all keep getting shot there.
But no, like, what was it? Like, what was up with that giant, like, weapon that the Buff Clan had, like, on the other side of Jupiter?
I don't know. There's always got to be a giant Tamino space weapon at the end of the series, though, right?
Yeah, it was like they finally used it. It was like a satellite cannon or something, or like the solar ray from Mobile Suit Gundam. See, there's another comparison. I don't know. They used that and, you know, pretty much destroyed just about everything. But then also, like, but the one thing about it was, before that happened, freaking Cosmo, like, what was it? He breaks up a planet, and then apparently the meteors are strong enough to go to both Earths and destroy him completely.
Yeah. This is one of the weird things about the Ideon, is that it seems to just cause these meteors to smash into the Earth and into the Buff Clan planet. And so both of these factions are trying to get the Ideon because it's constantly causing all this havoc and killing everybody. And this is supposed to be like the protagonist's mobile suit. It's really bizarre. I don't know. I don't know what Tamino was like thinking.
It was like, hey, Cosmo, nice going. You destroy the Earth. You artard. Or both Earths. Way to go, dude. I don't know. I mean, pretty much after that, it was like they had a moment to talk about stuff. And then they finally had the final battle. And, of course, like Cosmo uses the Ideon gun to pretty much blow up Jupiter to try to get after Carla's sister, which they wind up taking her out like in subspace or null space or something, because I think his co-pilot, like the one that's going through puberty, is like, hey, I think we can hit him through null space, and Cosmo's like, well, F it, let's just give it a shot, and it actually happens.
Didn't you hate listening to that little kid? His voice kept cracking whenever he talked.
I was like, oh no, that guy's talking again, and his scroll companion. Wait, did the scroll go to Ideon Heaven? Because I didn't see it.
Oh, that's a good point, because it was there in the cockpit with them in its little squirrel mobile suit, piloting the...
This little squirrel mobile suit. I'll call and he drops some nuts on you. The scroll version of Char's counterattack. Oh, that's something I would love to see. Oh, that makes a better Tomino something than Ideon did. I don't know. Anyway, maybe like the scroll, like maybe the scrolls will have like nerve gas and like attach it to tree like scroll huts or whatever. And they have like the one scroll that's like the Quattro Vagina scroll that wears sunglasses.
Yeah, we're gonna have to make a squirrel with sunglasses Photoshop to go with this. This post.
And the Quattro Vagina hair, the Char hair, is like humanity has a choice. Get the Char's counterattack poster and just replace the asteroid with a giant like nut or walnut or something. That'd be great. I forgot where we're going with this. It was just basically just nothing but like crap being destroyed over and over. And then we get to like that one, like when people are dying, like they like it's really messed up. Like at the end where I think I talked about this at the beginning regarding how that kid is like next to the person who's using the bazooka to try to have like a last stand in like the freaking bridge. And like the kid gets decapitated by like a laser beam.
Yeah.
And it's like a 5-year-old and I was like, oh God.
And then immediately after that, some other guy gets shot in the head too and says, I never got the chance to do anything. I don't even know who he was. So it's probably true what he said.
Oh, I thought that's what, like, the little kid said or something.
No, because it showed it coming out of the guy's head while he was dying.
Oh, okay.
The kid's head just got blown off, so he couldn't say anything.
Yeah,
This is like the most violent Tamino thing of all.
Well, this one, at least everyone dies. There's no hope for anyone.
Yeah. And
I don't know if it's really the most depressing. I guess it would be because there's no hope and everyone dies.
Yeah. The Ideon just turns out to be this, like, evil mass murdering thing that causes everybody to kill each other. And everybody just dies. It's just such a depressing ending.
Well, I mean, before everyone turns to, like liquid crap or whatever from, like, getting blown up. What was it? The main person, the Buff Clan, it gets, like, people coo against him. And they basically, like, assassinate him, like, or they shoot him, like, 10 times, point blank. And then a second later, the Ideon punches the bridge of where they're at, and they all die anyway. So I'm like, well, what was the point of that?
Yeah, I was watching that, and I was thinking, like, why did they just have this random mutiny all of a sudden? It's like in Shark's Counterattack.
To go on, and like everyone's gonna die a second later.
Yeah, it just comes out of nowhere, and I don't know if they didn't want to have Cosmo Yuki kill the main villain because it would have like had him have blood on his hands or something. But it seems kind of stupid to have some random minions we never seen before kill him.
And that, of course, that wasn't in the TV show or anything.
Yeah, because the TV show doesn't really get far.
There's no real ending to the TV show.
Yeah.
So then after that, like, everyone... I know, like, regarding whoever's... how your faith is, anyone listening to this, if you believe there's a heaven and a hell or an afterlife, this one, according to Tomito, you sing on the way to the Stairway to Heaven... or Ideon Heaven, you sing the Happy Birthday song, which is utterly the most beautiful song you have ever heard in your entire life.
Yeah, but you have to sing it in English. You have to be like, Happy Basu Deyu, and everything.
No, what was it? They were like, oh, this is such a beautiful song. And then it was like, Happy Birthday to Junre. I'm like, who's Junre? January? I don't know. I know that freaking Carly gave birth to her, like, infant. Like, it just kind of came out of her stomach, and then it was, like, maybe, like, a 6-month-old. And I'm like, what was the point of that? And no, it gets better. They freaking show tidal waves for 3 minutes, and then it says the end.
Yeah, they said that the baby had only been conceived of 4 months ago. But it seemed to be a fully developed toddler. And it had hair and everything.
Yeah, as it was transparencing out of like Kayla's or Carla's like womb and like the afterlife on the way to heaven.
Yeah, and then the movie ends, like you said, with several minutes of live action tidal waves in different colors.
They're shot in different colors and like negative like feedback and like negative like gamma ray or like, you know, images or whatever.
And then I'm they like, show the
what
sun,
is
the
point
moon.
Of this?
Then they show the sun, the moon, and the earth, and it just ends.
Oh, that's right. Oh, speaking of the moon, like, they had a scene where they go to the moon, like, in the first movie, to try to, like, interpret the data of the Ideon or something. And that was, like, how that first movie ended.
Oh. Yeah, well, they go to the moon, and they talk to the Earth government, and the Earth government's like, give us the Ideon so we can murder everybody with it. And they say, no. And they just leave. And so the Earth government teams up with the Buff Clan. And they both try to steal the Ideon from the Solo ship.
Oh.
And then they have to destroy the Solo ship. But for some reason the bombs don't work because the Ideon protects it or something. I don't know.
The Ideon protects it by shooting missiles and punching them?
Well, it just... It uses like the Ideon energy to just protect it somehow. It doesn't really make any sense. It's just the machine is a literal god, and so it's like one of the most overpowered mecha ever.
Yeah. I think I saw maybe parts of the Ideon get destroyed throughout the movies, and that was about it. But it was pretty much intact. And you're talking about full force, everything being thrown at to destroy the Edeon, and it is still standing.
Well, the Edeon in the series is nuked by the Buff Clan. And it doesn't even make a scratch. And the guys inside don't get radiation poisoning or anything. They're just fine. They're just like, you say something, bitch?
No, like, what was it? In the first movie, they were trying to, like, turn over the Edeon. And, like, their grand plan was to, like, okay, we're going to, you know, connect it to one piece at a time. And what was it? Their plan was to get out of their spacesuits and make it look like they're throwing them out of like the second ship or something to make it look like they were leaving to fool the Buff Clan, which apparently was like a genius idea because the Buff Clan didn't know no one was in those suits. And it would have been funny if like the guy threw them and like it was like a paper airplane and it just came right back inside. And they're like, wait a sec, what's going on? Or like you see him throw a spacesuit and it gets like behind the thrusters and it just evaporates and then they're like, like I'm like, what would you do with that? They're like, oh, we're so great that they're just killing each other. I guess it was a genius enough a plan to work that, you know, they're able to connect and they're like, wait, they tricked us. Oh no, those alien guys.
I can't believe the Buff Clan even survived 40 episodes against the Edeon. I mean, they're so incompetent.
I wonder if when they nuked the Edeon, it didn't grow like a second head, like it was like it was an Evangelion when they did with the Angel. Wait, did they actually nuke it in space, or was it like on a planet or something?
The Edeon's just standing there in outer space, and they nuke it, and you see this mushroom cloud clear, and there's just the Edeon standing there, and it looks the same as before. And they were like, we knew it wouldn't do any good, but we had to try, or something.
It's like... it's like, if you knew it wasn't going to do any good, why do it? It's like, just nuke each other, just wipe yourselves out, because you just make it easier for yourself.
And especially since that wouldn't that nuclear radiation just float on over to the Buff Clan, because it's not like they're ever really fighting at long distances.
Yeah, they've pulled like freaking commander raids on like the solo ship and the crew like 5 or 6 times in the movies. It was like always their effort, like we got to get close enough, and then we're gonna send everyone in as a freaking, you know, like commando raid. But they apparently get wiped out by little kids with automatic laser guns.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about Edeon, but that is something that isn't a very, as an experience for sure.
So I guess, are we going to move on to Lasner now or what?
Yeah. Hold on, let me write Jeff real quick. I'm just telling, he was like, hey, what's up, dog? And I'm like, hey, we're recording Edeon.
Okay.
Or we're just about done.
I'm going to pause the recording for a second and go.
Yeah, I got to go. Use the bathroom real quick.
Yeah, and then I go get some water.
Alright.
Great point.
Alright. finale for Arby and the Chief. Hmm. So he's saying that it's the finale, like, for sure, and he's probably not going to come back with it, so I don't blame John CJG for doing that. Oh, you got a recording, right?
Yep.
All right. So, with our other part of our Tomino Takahashi month, we're now going to be talking about SPT Lesnar, which you've seen the OVAs and like whatever of M Subs is released of the TV series, right?
Well, what I saw was, you know how there's the pre-time skip episodes and the post-time skip episodes? The first 24 tell the story from before the time skip, and I saw those. And then for the post-time skip, I saw the second and third OVAs. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen episodes 26 through 30 yet, though. And then 31 through 39 are still not released by MSubs. But basically, OVA 2 and 3 tell the story of episodes 26 through 39. So, I got the whole story, at least.
Well, you got one part of it. Like, apparently the way the TV series ended was completely different. And it was one of those things that just, like, you know, happened to be canceled before it actually was supposed to end. And then they did the OVAs, which the OVAs, I think, told a really good story on how it ended.
But, yeah, the third OVA is great.
I'm trying to... You're going to have to kind of refresh my memory on the third OVA a little bit, because I just remember... I remember kind of how it ended and bits and pieces of it. But the second one was pretty much like that time skip with, like, you know, they're, like how the crew is, you know, basically part of, like, a resistance and everything to fight against the Empire. Yeah. Which I guess we should pull up some freaking notes on this show and sound kind of prepared.
Yeah, that's what the second one's about. And the third one is just the conclusion of the whole show.
Yeah.
So we find out if they were really betrayed by their friend. And we find out what happens to that redheaded guy that is ruling the Gradosian Empire.
That was it.
And we get to find out what happens with AG and his girlfriend, whose name I can't remember.
I think it was Anna.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because she grows, like, because at the start of the series, she was, like, 14, and then I think by the time, like, the end of the series, she was, like, 17 or 18 or something.
Yeah, because at the start, it comes across as, like, some creepy... Like if he was with her at the start, it would have been, like, borderline pedophilia.
But at that would have been too moe there.
Yeah, but at the end, the character, I guess, has gotten older and more attractive, and so it's not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can tell she, like, grew her hair out longer and got a little bit taller and everything, and then, like, apparently AG, like, sees, like, how, like, tsundere she is and kawaii, so he's like, yep, I totally deserve you. But no, this is not that type of anime. There is no Hot Springs episode. Or is there a Hot Springs episode? I don't remember.
No, there's not.
Okay, yeah.
And she's not tsundere at all. She's totally passive.
Mars and or space in general. But no, SPT Lesnar was a series that came out in 85 from Ryusuke Takahashi. And the first OVA pretty much covers, like, the first, you know, the first part of the, how it starts out before the time skip. I haven't seen the first OVA, but, like, I've seen the TV series, so I know, you know, what happens, and
I haven't seen it either.
Okay, the last time I talked about this, which is actually the first time I ever talked about this, was for, Reagan Strongblood's Anime 82 podcast when he had this Mecha Madness thing. And I did a review for this, like, for him, like, 2 years ago. And that was just me talking about, like, the first 9 episodes. And I think maybe 20-something was released at that time. Mm-hmm. This was, like, before the OVAs came out. So, like, I pretty much, like, discussed, like, the first few episodes of the show. And I can definitely use that for show notes on this.
The first 9 episodes had kind of a crappy release, I think, because M-Subs didn't translate the scenes in the opening credits Each mm-hmm. opening credit has a scene from the episode, and those weren't translated. And I kind of think they didn't translate the next episode previews also. Or maybe it was that they didn't translate the theme songs, or they translated them in Japanese only or something. But they did fix that stuff eventually, about episode 9 or 10.
Yeah, I remember that, because it's like the credits, I think, would be subtitled, and like when they get to the actual like scene of what's going to happen in the episode, like there's nothing there.
Well, I think that they did what even ADV did this on some of their stuff back in the day. They would have subtitles, but the subtitles would just be Japanese. Well, it'd be English letters, but it would be the Japanese text, you know, like Itsuware no Hoshi or whatever, you know.
Yeah. It's written out like you would pronounce it in Japanese.
Yeah.
It's like the karaoke version, essentially.
But then on episode 9 or 10, they switched it over to the English meaning of it, which I was glad when they did that.
Yeah. Let's see. I first started watching this 2.5 years ago. When I found out about M-Subs, and I had, like, a really early shift at my call center job before I did college. And, like, I pretty much, like, we didn't have people call in till like, 9 a.m. And, I think that's when our call center opened. We had to be there at 7 in case, like, people called in earlier than that, which a few did. But I would sit there for, like, an hour or two and just kind of go through these SBT Lasner episodes, like, sitting at my desk. And I would just, like, I know that, like, the site director wasn't there, so, like, he wasn't going to catch me or say anything. And then we had this, like, a-hole jerk that came by, and I had to be, like, super ninja secret about, like, watching anime at my desk. Next to this, like, fat, obnoxious redneck woman that, like, sat next to me. I don't want to talk about that job. Anyways, that's how I first got into SBT Lasner. And I was one of those, like, I'll try this out. I'm here at work at 7:20 in the morning. You know, I'm pretty much, I could either just doze off until someone calls my phone, which I hope they don't. But if they do, or until that point, I guess I'll just watch anime. And this is one of the things I was sitting at my desk watching. And I really got into it, like, you know, from the get-go, because, like, I didn't really know what to think about the first couple episodes, and then I started gravitating towards, like, this is starting to get really, really good. And, like, it was hard to predict what was going to happen next. But the show starts out with, the premise of the show is basically a bunch of people that are part of the Cosmic Culture Club, which is, like, a UN-based, like, kids thing where, like, they go to Mars and... it's like a field trip in space, essentially. And this takes place in, like, what, 1996?
Yeah, I think
the
so.
The far-off future of 1996.
Something like that.
The Cold War... Yeah, and according to Wiki, it says the story takes place in 1996. Where apparently we've advanced space travel enough to go to Mars. But because of that, the Cold War is still going on. So, like, one side of Mars is occupied by the Russians... and they have a base there. And then the other side is the Americans, which is where, like, our story takes place, since they have a base there. And, like, at first, like, these mechs show up, and they have a battle, and, like, the main characters of the Cosmic Culture Club, yeah, they, I mean, they essentially get wrapped up into this against their own will and everything, and they're just trying to survive. And I remember, like, David had that black friend of his, and he essentially died. And, like, that was one of the things that, like, held him up from being friends with, like, AG at first. It was like, you killed my black friend. How dare you? This is all your fault, blah, blah, blah. And then eventually, like, people that resented the main character, AG, like, they come to like him because AG is doing everything he can to save these people.
Yeah, AG, for some reason... decides to tell the Earthlings that the Gradosians plan to attack and take over. And so eventually they find out that he really is on their side and warm up to him. But at first they all hate him.
Because it started out with... because he's being attacked and he's got like a... and he just got like an experimental Lasner unit. Or like a... I think it's called a particular type of like weapon or whatever. It's. I'm looking on Wikipedia. I don't know. They have like a whole thing on like. Well, it's SPT is short for Superpower Tracer, and he's got like an experimental unit that he took from his father, who was a scientist on like the planet that they're on, which they actually go into detail on the on like how the like who made the SPT laser, which apparently like what makes AG so unique. And him and his sister that he has is the fact that they're half Earthlings, because apparently his dad was a Japanese astronaut that like perished into space, but he landed on their planet, and then apparently hooked up with an alien girl and had kids, and he's one of those.
Yeah. So basically, AG is half Earthling and half Gradozian, and he's also got a sister that shows up later on. I don't know if she's also half Earth, half Grados.
I thought for sure she was, because, like, isn't she, like, part royalty or something? Or not, I don't think so, because, like, AG has, like, a friend of his, the blonde-haired dude that's, like, I think it was, like, kind of his, like, military advisor, or, like, his, like, sergeant or whatever. And, like, he spends his whole time trying to convince AG to come back on their side, and you know, it's like, look, you know, if you give up the laser unit, we won't be so hard on you.
Is it the same sister before and after the time skip? Because before the time skip, she works for the Gradozian military, and she's always trying to kill him and everything. But then after the time skip, the sister is in this like nun outfit, and she's talking about nonviolence, and she like uses the power of the seal of Grados in order to defeat the enemy and peacefully and everything. It's like a totally different character.
See, like I didn't know. I think maybe towards like the first end of the time skip, or like before the time skip happens, like when they're on the way to Earth, is like she might have been like a mobile suit pilot, and they've convinced her like, oh, he's never going to come back. You need to kill him and everything. Because I remember her fighting against him, but it was like. But it was, like, up until that point, she basically, like, they would go back to her, and she's just like, I don't believe my brother would do this and everything.
Yeah. What happened at the end of part one? Because AG was trying to save the whole,
The planet? Yeah. Like, right before they invade? I remember him, you're talking about, like, when he charges at, like, the main battleship, right?
Yeah, all his friends were going with him, and he kept telling him to go back, and then he went at it alone, and then, I guess, he just fails, and then that's it?
Well, essentially he does, because, like, you know, they have, yeah, because that's, like, once they get to Earth, they get there, and they basically interrogate him there, and they're trying to take his Lasner apart, which he winds up hijacking it, or they wind up leaving anyways, and, or escaping, and then they're in space, so they got both, like, the Earth people kind of after them, and also, like, his own, the military, the Grandosians. So he does, like, this final dash towards, like, the battleship, and then it just kind of it ends inconclusively. Which I remember when that episode, like, when M-Subs finished it, I was just like, what happens next? And then, like, they released the OVAs out. So then that's how I kind of finished it from there. And then they eventually released the TV series, but I haven't seen any of those yet. But I think that was, like, episode 24, and then 25 was a recap.
So you didn't see 26 plus either?
No, I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, me neither.
But I figure, like, how it is in the OVAs, they play along the same. Because, like, I'm watching the OVAs, and I'm like, okay, I can kind of tell if this was a TV episode, I can see how this would start up an episode and how that would end and everything. But it flows nicely together. I don't know if that was something you kind of noticed.
That it was well edited? Yeah. I mean, yeah. The only problem I had was that the this kid and this dog show up out of nowhere, and it's never really explained who they are. But they kind of hang around for the rest of the OVA.
I think I remember that. I don't know. I guess we'll get to that in a sec, but, like when they're back on Mars, like, in the beginning, like, you know, AG's trying to help them survive. And, like, it was just basically hell for them to try to get off Mars, because, like, they're able to get away from like the base that they're at, the UN base or something, and they go to the American base, or they're on the way there, and then as soon as they get there, it gets nuked right before their eyes, because like the Russians think that they're the ones that started everything. So they both nuke each other, so they're basically essentially the only people left on the entire like planet of Mars, other than the Grandoceans coming after them.
Yeah, nobody believes that Grados is really involved at first.
Yeah.
And they all think it's the Cold War starting up, and it takes them forever to get that it's Grados attacking. And when they tell the Americans in outer space, a few episodes later even, they aren't even really believed. And eventually, one of the Americans does listen and comes on board and meets them. And he hates AG at first, but then gains his respect, and then he dies.
No surprise there. No, but they, like eventually, like they had that one guy. I think it was like Gustavo or something that was like after killing AG. It was the one guy that was like, that's like how you notice like when you first realize that AG's Lasner unit has like a built-in AI system that is activated when, like, AJ's about to die or, like, you know, his life is threatened drastically, and then it activates and kills his enemies.
Are you talking about Gustoro, the villain?
Yeah, that guy. I remember him specifically killing his own, like, crewmates in order to get to go out and try to kill AJ again.
Yeah. Why did he kill them?
I don't know. Like, he was just, like, that crooked of a dude where like they have him locked up where he convinces him to let him out and he just like essentially shoots him and kills him point blank in like their own ship, and then like he goes into his own like mobile suit or his unit to go after AG, and then like I was so happy when he got shot or quote unquote killed, and I was just like, all right, well that guy's a jerk and he'll never come back. And then like and then like when I'm watching the second OVA, he's part of this like he's got like his face like half metal or cybernetic or something, and like he's part of this whole this other kind of like special ops like Grandosian like, you know, group or whatever that's after EG, but then he winds up I think getting killed by like the person that's in charge of the planet or like his own mate or team, where he gets like basically like discharged. He winds up dying, but it was by his own guy, so he gets, like, the same fate, or I think AG might kill him. I just remember he came back, I was like, no, why is this guy back? But he doesn't last that long.
Gustero, he comes back, but then he's defeated, and then doesn't he turn on his own side almost immediately? and then he gets arrested, because he ends up in this cell, and then he's in there, and there's this guard talking to him, and
yeah,
somehow he knocks out the guard and electrocutes him and steals his key or something like that, and then he escapes again, and then there's this other guy who's fighting AG, and Gustero just comes running out there and starts interfering with the battle. And the other guy keeps looking at him, and he's like, what's Gustero doing out here? And Gustero keeps, like, shooting bazookas at him and stuff.
Yeah, it's just like, you're in my way, and if I kill you, well, that's too bad. And then he just, like, I think I remember that. But what also made it interesting was the fact that AG had, on his own spacecraft, he had two other other units that David and then that nerdy kid piloted. Yeah, I can't think of the nerdy kid's name. Let's see. Well, I got all the names. Oh, Arthur Cummings. That was it. I think so.
Arthur was the...
Oh, the annoying... Or kind of the annoying one, yeah.
Yeah, the guy that everybody thought was a traitor. What's his name, though? I can't remember. It's like... It's something else.
So Anna was the youngest. David was the hotshot American. Roanne was the one that was like the highlighted hair, redhead one. Or was that... No, that's Simone. Roanne was...
I think Rowan is the nerd.
That's it. Ronan was the nerd.
The guy that everybody thinks is a traitor in part two.
Yeah. And then they also had the doctor, too, Elizabeth Calbury, which, like, she's basically there to try to keep the group together and everything, and she's kind of one that's like, you know, I think we should really put our trust in AG. But yeah, I mean, I can kind of tell that she was like, you know, really helping the crew out and everything. And who's messaging me? Oh, Jeff is just like, Dustin, go listen to Off the Wall. What is that? Keep on with the force, don't stop. I think he's rapping to me.
Huh. Okay.
Alright, I'm just gonna... Thank you, Jeff. Your Skype comment will be posted in this episode, and you probably don't even know this episode exists, because I don't think he listens to a lot of our stuff. Or he listens to our stuff, but he'll go back to it every once in a while. And she'll be like, yeah, man, I like that. Like, I told you about that whole Skype, or not, Facebook discussion regarding, like, rap groups and everything between him and that Corey guy.
Yeah, I saw it.
Corey, yeah. I that was just hysterical. It's just like, I'm just being real and straight up, and they're, like, having a heated... I thought it was, like, a heated discussion. I'm like, wait, are you guys arguing? Because I'm like, this is hilarious. And they're both like, no, we're straight, we're cool. I was like, all right, Jeff. Thank you for making the Facebook group lively. With your non-racial words, which were racist. I'm not even really going to bother to pull up that up or talk about it. That's not that relevant. I remember, like, so yeah, they finally get off Mars, and then, like, AJ goes, like, they're basically fighting in space, trying to fend off the Grandosian Empire, but then also, like, they're trying to get in touch with anyone, like, you know, from Earth. Like, they land on the moon planet, and I remember, like, they had, like, those automatic droids or something they're trying to fight against.
Yeah, I think that does happen.
Yeah, because there was, like, a bunch of kids, I think, that were, like, trying to fight them off or something. Like, they had, like, the one, like, Earth pilot, or, like, I guess the American pilot that was, like, helping them out or something.
Wasn't he Dr. Elizabeth's former lover?
I think so. Man, it's been such a long time since I've seen this.
And he was blind, too.
Oh, yeah. The guy was blind, but he was teaching kids how to, like, shoot or whatever. So, mm-hmm. I'm not sure how that would all work out.
Yeah, somehow he's able to protect himself against the Grandosians, even though he's blind.
I mean, there was that also, like, when they get to the moon, but also, but along with that, like, they meet up with, like, I think both the Soviet and the American forces in space. And, like, the American forces have all these fighter jets, but they don't compare to, like, the firepower and the maneuverability of, like, the Grandosians' suits and everything like that. So, like, they always get wiped out quickly, and this is kind of, like, sort of a plot device for them to, like, get a little bit further away from the Grandosians, like EG and the group. And kind of like how we mentioned earlier, like, they get to Earth and they basically get questions, or EG does. And they wind up breaking out. And then that's like when AJ makes his final stand in space. And then they go 3 years later where the Grandosians have taken over the Earth. And I think they're basically harvesting it for like natural resources or whatever. I think that was their plan all along for the to invade other planets.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting when they had the Grandosian leaders talk about why they were ruling over everybody, because the main villain, the bald guy, who is also in part one, was talking about how he knows he's evil, and he knows that ruling people is evil, but he does it anyway because he is able to own up to it or something, and he doesn't think his son can face up to the fact that he's a evil tyrant. But the son says, but what I do is just because I'm more powerful than everyone, I'm superior to everyone. And so the son is obsessed with proving that he's, I guess, powerful enough, and so he fights AG, and he's the main antagonist for the whole second half of the...
Yeah, that's the guy with, like, the 80s metal, like, poofy hair or whatever that he goes against.
Yeah, he has this big, long red hair, and his name is LeGrand or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah. Like, cause I know, like, when they get to Earth, like, AG's the one that's, like, the, everyone that's part of the, you know, the group, other than, like, Ronan, is part of, like, a resistance group and everything. Like, the Doctor is, like, part, like, you know, definitely part of it. Or I think she becomes part of it later. But I know, like, Arthur and, Simone and freaking David are part of this resistance group. And then I think, Anna was, like, doing her own thing or something.
Well, Arthur and Rowan are both working for the Gradosian government, but
that's right.
But Arthur is also undercover as a spy for the Resistance, and Rowan, although we don't know it at first, it turns out Rowan is actually a really deep undercover spy as well, and he's just trying to keep his motive secret from everyone, because eventually. When he's placed in charge of the whole operation to stop AG from escaping into outer space, he just tells them to stand down. He won't give the order to engage after having control being trusted in him from that red-haired guy.
Yeah, that's it.
And he says, I'm an Earthling, I couldn't betray my own kind and stop AG.
I remember that, like, when, because AG comes into the picture when, like, when they were, like, the Resistance is about to get executed, like, with them, and, I think Arthur was part of it, but, like, you know, David and Simone and them, and then, AG shows up, like, in his motorcycle, and it takes out, like, the Grandosian mobiles, like, the other units. And I remember them, like, there was, like, a machine. They used, like, they put, like, machine guns on top of, like, skyscrapers to, like, mow them down at the opposite end or something. And, like, they're climbing up the ropes that they're, like, you know, about to be hung from. Like, I remember that part of the OVA. And then after that, they kind of go underground and hide. And then at the same time, like, AG's sister's there, but she's part of, like, some sort of, like, Mayan religious cult or something. Well, she winds up playing, like, a bigger role at the end when she defeats Ligarian or, you know, like, in outer space. And they're in some giant space tube of some kind.
Yeah, there's something called the Seal of Grados. They don't really explain what it is, but they go out to it in the third OVA, and they kind of hang out in front of it for a while, and then it goes into outer space. And it seals AG's sister and the redheaded guy inside of it for, I guess, thousands of years or something. I guess we're supposed to assume they just died of old age in there. Or of starvation or whatever. Or else that they're going to still be alive 1,000 years in the future. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're in suspended animation or something.
They're frozen in carbonite or something.
Yeah, who knows?
yeah, because she sacrifices herself to basically trap him in there. Like, she gives him enough time for AG to escape.
Yeah, she teleports AG and the Lasner outside of the cylinder, or whatever, and then he just goes back to Earth and embraces Anna and.
Yeah, that's pretty much SPT Laser in a nutshell. I mean, there's a... I can't think of anything else we could might have missed. Oh, well, I think one other thing was... it was kind of emotional regarding when AG had to fight his superior or whatever, the blonde-haired dude, who was going to marry AG's sister.
Oh, Gale? They're
engaged, yeah.
Yeah, Gale gets killed by AG, I think.
Or, like, I think he gets killed by the system inside AG's Lasner unit, which is the one that keeps activating.
Yeah, for some reason the Lasner has, like, this evil berserker mode that keeps activating on him and going beyond what he requests of the machine.
Yeah, because then apparently, like, when Gale died, he looks at the Earth because he wanted to see it. He's just like, wow, that's, like, really beautiful and everything. I think that's when AG's sister landed on the planet because she was underwater or something, and there was that scene there. I think that all happened, like, right around the time when AG was doing... I think AG's sister was underwater from a battle, I think when she was fighting him before he went into space to try to take on, like, the whole fleet. But, like, Gale's death happened, like, a few episodes earlier than that, like, before they got to Earth. And, like, only Gale could see Earth from, like, a distance, and he was saying how beautiful and wonderful it was. But, yeah, that's about it. I think that's all there really is to cover about SBT Lesnar. And the only thing I could, the only other thing I could say about it was that Animag, back in, like, the late 80s, early 90s, did a whole cover of SBT Lesnar. Because, like, that magazine series did talk about anime series that have not been released in the States as of yet. I guess they covered stuff that might potentially get picked up, but they never did. Like, an SBT Lesnar was one of those. But, like, this is the same magazine that would write, like, Zeta Gundam episode synopses for an anime series that later came out, like, a decade and a half later on DVD.
Did you scan this for your blog or anything?
Yeah, I scanned this for my blog maybe about 2 years ago or so. And I can use that for show notes. It's pretty interesting. And they actually, I think they have, like, the character bios, and I think they talked about the episodes, like, the first 10 episodes or something. And I'm not sure if they ever went back to it. So the people of Animag, like Trish Ledoux and them, like, knew about this show long ago. But, yeah, I would definitely say to check out SBT Lesnar for sure. I don't think we really spoiled everything about it, or just kind of, we just hit it on the high points.
Yeah, I guess check both of them out. Ideon's a pretty weird show, but I guess it's interesting. And, Lesnar, it's still unfinished, but sooner or later, M-Subs is gonna get the last 9 out. Yeah, they just put out 30 recently.
Yeah, I'm curious on how that's gonna end, really. Or, like, what's the difference on that?
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff that happens in that third OVA that they couldn't pack into just the last episode, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure if, like, the third OVA was, like, really the how the TV series was supposed to end, or that was just like, well, this is, we're going to try another ending. It might have been, like, how it was supposed to end, I think. So, but, yeah, that's going to conclude for our Takahashi Tomino month segment or whatever. And how are we doing on time, by the way?
1 hour and 28 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad. So an hour and a half for talking about summarizing both series.
Yeah, this is a pretty good episode. Good length and everything.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure if our other Tomino Takahashi thing was about the same length. It might have been.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't know if we talked about everything on too lengthy on that one. I just felt like we talked about that game for, like, forever. I think we spent 10 minutes talking about Blue Gender?
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Blue Gender that much, especially since I hadn't finished it yet at the time. And I never really talked about the last 10 episodes or so, where AG goes berserk and starts getting really into killing the blue, and then the ending where everybody dies, except for Yuji and Marlene.
See, the only thing I remember about that was, like, I remember him going into, like, berserk super soldier mode, because that was, like, part of that virus or gene or whatever that he had.
Yeah, the T-cells activated.
Yeah, I was able to fuse up with, like, the power mech or power armor that he has. And they're, like, fighting the queen and, like, inside that cave or something. That's all I remember about the ending of Blue Gender.
Yeah, well, they killed the queen, and then for some reason all the B-cells activated on the satellite in outer space, and that Miyagi guy got killed by all the sleepers going nuts. And then the satellite explodes, I think. And then it just ends. Supposedly the movie has a different ending. But I haven't seen the compilation movie, though.
Okay, and I haven't seen it either. But yeah, I think that's going to sort of wrap this up. Man, I still got, like, stuff to get ready for school on Wednesday, since I start my semester at Anderson University. Well, you start the 21st, right?
No, I think I start the 22nd. This Thursday.
Oh, nice.
But,
Wait, yeah, how many classes you got this semester?
Two more days of freedom. I think it's 15 credits, five classes, 3 credits each.
I'm doing like 5 classes, but like 14 credits. And like today was kind of interesting because I had to go over there and like apparently this is more of a private college. So like they were handing out iPads to students that I guess just join up. So I got I couldn't opt out for like a real laptop or anything. So I have to use an iPad to read books on it. But I just been playing app games on it that I've had from my account.
Is it free?
It comes with enrolling with the school.
Oh, cool.
So it's not mine to keep. It's more of a loaner thing. So like if anything happens to it, we're going to get lost and stolen or like broken, I have to basically cover the cost myself.
Oh.
Which is kind of, I mean, it's kind of fair. Like, the only thing I really would need for it is, like, a really cheap case and, like, a screen protector. And I don't think those are too expensive. And then I've been trying to get, supposedly I have, like, the dumbest car in the world to put a stereo into because, like, my brother's friend is a mechanic and he's trying to hook me up with my brother's old stereo because I just want something that play music and whatever on the way there because I need something with an aux jack. And the CD thing that's inside of the Chevy that I have... Like, they made Chevys at around a time where, like, they have this, like, they were trying to go against, like, anti-theft. So, like, if someone has to take out the stereo, they would have to take off the entire dashboard. It's, like, 8 hours worth of work that this guy has to do in order to put, like, a new stereo in for me. And he's, like, determined to do it. So, I'm, like, I have to, like, I own, like, about 10 meals, I think, at Red Robin at this point. I think that's a good fair compromise.
You're going to pay him in Red Robin meals?
Well, I think I'm going to do that, and I'm going to treat him to a really nice, like, a few dinners at Red Robin. Okay, that was what we're supposed to do. Like, he was like, oh, man, this would be easy. I know how to do this. You just take off this dash part. And then he realized he was messing with it, and it's like, okay, well, there's the airbag, and I sure as hell don't want to deal with that thing. Because I don't want that to go off. And it's just a pain in the butt. And then he had, like... I had to go to his shop today, and his other worker was a mechanic that knows about cars, and he's looking up the schematics. He's like, "Yeah, we have to basically take off your entire dash just to get the radio out." I'm like, "So,
okay, well, good luck with that."
Yeah, I know this is off topic and not talking about Animu, but whatever. This is the end. I think everyone's probably packed up and gone home by now.
Yeah, they stopped listening by now.
They're like, oh, wait, he's talking about, like, real life stuff. No, it's not anime. Not going to listen to that. Do you have any closing remarks?
Not really. I mean, I think we covered these shows pretty thoroughly.
Nothing from Love That Goku recently?
He hasn't tweeted in 6 days. The most recent thing was his fight with Blues Traveler.
What?
Oh, did you miss that?
No, I don't know anything about this. Please explain his fight with Blues Traveler.
Well, what happened with Blues Traveler was...
is this the band or like a Twitter person?
No, it's the actual band, Blues Traveler.
I know the band, that's why I was just like, you gotta explain this to me.
Well, they got in a Twitter war. For some reason, he decided that he had to destroy Blues Traveler. And so he started tweeting about this. And Blues Traveler took offense, and they started tweeting back and saying that he's a loser who burnt down his neighbor's house and stuff like that.
Wait, so Blues Traveler keeps up with Love That Goku?
Well, I think they just noticed that he was tweeting at them using their @handle and everything, and so they decided to fight back, and so they sent him, like, dozens of tweets insulting him and telling him what a loser and a nerd he is and how he never should have burned down Raj's house because it's going to come back to bite him and everything. And so they really looked into him, and Brian McCarthy, the baseball player, tweeted in there too saying, "This is fantastic. Once again, the nerdy kid is getting it handed to him, battling online." I love that Goku response. "You stay out of this, McCarthy. This is between me and the Blues Traveler."
Yeah, that was the baseball player he was picking a fight with, like, months ago or something.
Yeah, he's the pitcher for the Diamondbacks here.
Oh, because that was in the freaking news, or like, I think it was like this, like ESPN or something, like how he was doing that.
Yeah, I think BuzzFeed did a compilation of all his tweets or something like that.
Gosh. It's like, Love That Goku, keep this up. Like, yeah, there's no, it's gotta be so obvious that Love That Goku is a real person. He can't be a troll at this point. And everything sounds too legit and real. Otherwise, this has got to be the best troll out there ever.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. I just wish he had tweeted more. He hasn't done any in the last week. Maybe Blues Traveler defeated him in their Twitter war. He feels shamed.
That just ends round one. Do you want to end this with the happy birthday song from Edeon?
Yeah, I guess you could do that either before the credits or after, and Stairway to Heaven, you could do that the other.
Yeah, I was kind of wanting to do Stairway to Heaven at the very end, but because that's such a fitting song, because that's how I immediately saw the end of Edeon. I was just like, Stairway to Heaven, oh no, the happy birthday song. Which apparently I think it's the most beautiful thing ever. And all English gory. Happy birthday to Jure. Happy birthday to you. I think we're done.
Yeah.
There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed, with a word she can get what she came for. And she's buying a stairway. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, 'cause you know sometimes words have to mean. In the tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts are misguided.
ハルル、起きるがいい。歌が聞こえる。
歌が、かわいい歌だこと。
行くか。
はい。歌のようだけど。
誕生日のお祝いの歌だ。
先に行っておいで。